WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning, happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program, a frigid day. My watch tells me it's 28 degrees out there, and it certainly feels like 28 degrees out there. Although, I don't know if that's the official feel-like temperature. Hold on. Don't want to speak out of school here, so I'll tell you exactly what the feels-like temperature is. It feels like 22. So it's Taylor Swift weather out there, right? Wasn't that her song? Feel like 22? I don't know. Anyway, good morning. Hope your day is starting off well. It is Wednesday. By the way, normally Mayor John Mitchell joins Chris Wednesdays at 11 a.m. But if you missed yesterday's South Coast Now, he was on with Chris yesterday. So you can catch that on podcast. He's not going to be back with Chris until next week. And I heard him say that it may be next Tuesday because of the holiday. So he might join Chris on Tuesday next week. But they're going to have a lot to discuss because we're going to get into it. This story about the Pope's Island Marina and the Office of the Inspector General report. We'll get into that coming up. Just wanted to point out, because I've been meaning to bring this up and I keep forgetting to mention it, but every morning I have Providence TV on here in the studio and I see these commercials for TF Green Airport. And if you haven't seen these commercials, they're some of the funniest commercials or some of the best commercials I've seen in a while. There's different themes to them. I just saw one about leave the tunnels to the moles. And they're talking about not driving to Boston and going through the tunnels to get to the airport. And then they have one that's IBS, and I think it's like irritable Boston syndrome, where like it's like one of those medical commercials where it's people have upset stomachs and they're showing people having these, you know, painful reactions to having to drive to Boston to go to the airport. They're all very funny. If you haven't seen them, I'm sure you can catch them online, but they're very well done. And speaking of Rhode Island, I went there last night. I left here, got out kind of early yesterday. I left here about 5:30 p.m. That's early for me. And said, well, I'm going to go out to dinner. I went to Moby Dick Brewing Company. They had a beer they were advertising on Facebook that I wanted to try, but they'd already moved on from that and had a different one. So I had, you know, some dinner and a beer. And then I had seen on social media that a place in Rhode Island in Newport was going to be screening one of my favorite movies of all time. If you've never been to the Jane Pickens Theater, the JPT Film and Event Center, the Jane Pickens Theater and Event Center, the JPT they call it, in Newport. If you've never been there before, what a great place. You know, it's a small little theater, has a balcony level. I don't know if they use a balcony. It was roped off last night, but that might have just been because they knew they didn't need all the seating for what they were showing, because they were showing, and they do new release movies, but they also run classic films as well. And so I saw last week and kind of forgot about it that they were going to be having Big Trouble in Little China. A movie that I loved, I've loved since 1986, when I was 8 years old. So I kind of made a mental note to say, all right, well, if I can somehow get out of work early Tuesday, I'll go, which, you know, I wasn't counting on happening. And then when I was sitting at Moby Dick eating my dinner, it came back up on my phone, and I was like, oh, yeah, right. You know what? I am going to go. And so kind of on a whim, I bought a ticket online, went down there, and had a great time. You know, it's not a quick ride from here to Newport, but it's not bad. It certainly doesn't feel as long as it is. You know, it was about 40 minutes, but it didn't feel like 40 minutes. Certainly coming home didn't feel like 40 minutes. I mean, the longest stretch is getting from Newport back to 24. And as long as you're not going into high traffic time, it's not terrible. But, and you know what? I don't go to Newport for anything. I've been there very few times. But maybe I'll have to go start checking it out. I know. You say that now, Tim, in November when, you know, the season's over. But, yeah, that's the idea. Get down there and explore some of the stuff before it's tourist season. But, yes, the Jane Pickens Theater and Event Center was a pretty cool place. When I first walked in, I was like, well, this... You know, it's definitely a little bit older looking, and I looked at the screen and I said, well, I hope this is going to be a good picture and sound, and it was very good. And I guess that makes sense because, you know, these new release films wouldn't be showing there if they didn't have state-of-the-art equipment. And the concessions are relatively cheap, and seats are old theater seats. You know, you're not getting big, comfortable recliners, but still fine for, you know, an hour and a half movie. And of course, the movie itself is a classic. If you've never seen Big Trouble in Little China, do yourself a favor and watch it. I mean, you've got to have a penchant for goofy action comedies because that's what it is. It has some supernatural elements, but not scary. It's more kind of like these cheesy monsters. But the one-liners in it and Kurt Russell's performance, just amazing. And I've watched it so many times over the years, but always at home, you know, usually by myself. When I was married, I tried showing it to my wife. She got up and walked away halfway through it. Not even halfway through it. You know, but normally I've watched it myself or with my cousin because he loves the movie too. So we might be watching it together, but I've never been in a crowd of people watching it. And it was nice to see everybody else like appreciated the same jokes that I did, appreciated the same little nuances of the film that I did. So a good time. A little tired now today, but that's all right. We will get through it. So I had mentioned this story. And the Standard Times had it yesterday at southcoasttoday.com. New Bedford Light has it. The Inspector General uncovers grossly mismanaged Pope's Island Marina. That's the New Bedford Light headline from Colin Hogan's piece. And I'll just read to you the opening graph here. Well, the opening two graphs. An investigation by the state's inspector general found that Pope's Island Marina, quote, was and is grossly mismanaged by the New Bedford Port Authority and the state's Department of Conservation and Recreation, the DCR. Decades of rental payments and operating fees at the publicly owned and operated docks are unaccounted for, while the Port Authority and DCR also failed to provide a full accounting of $190,000 that was set aside for capital repairs between 1997 and 2003. So just let me reiterate that. 1997 and 2003. We're talking about over 20 years ago. Now, some of the things that the Inspector General found it took issue with are more recent, for sure. Including the fact that currently there's no lease agreement between the state, between DCR, and between the New Bedford Port Authority. So DCR owns the marina. And DCR leases it. So it's the New Bedford Port Authority that runs it, but DCR owns it, essentially. And if you remember, going back to 2022, We had a story that there was an inspection report that had been done for the first time in a couple of years that found that there were significant problems at the Pope's Island Marina that needed to be addressed. And Mayor Mitchell came on the air and was talking about how, yeah, we'd love to address them, but we can't because we don't own it. And we are looking for DCR to give us ownership of it. They wanted, there was a move to try to get DCR to sell them or transfer to them, to the city, the Pope's Island Marina. And as far as I know, that's still something that they're trying to get done. But they talked about how the rent paid in 2016 by the New Bedford Port Authority is less than what it paid in 2000. But again, if I remember correctly, and when Mayor Mitchell comes on with Chris, he can probably address this more. But if I remember, they were the city was putting significant money into just trying to keep things running. So maybe that was a matter of, you know, like when you say to your landlord, hey, I'm trying to think of something that would go wrong. The thermostat broke. It needs to be replaced. Just the control unit. Okay, well, I'll call somebody and have them come down and fix. Ah, no, don't worry about it. I can go to Home Depot and get one. And I can just, you know, wire it on. No problem. It's easy to do. Two wires. I'll take care of it, and then I'll just take it off the rent. Okay, fine. You know, and I think it was like one of those situations where when the city had to do things, it took it off the rent, so to speak. Maybe that's what the situation was. But the problem was none of this was really accounted for. That's what the inspector general had an issue with, is that there wasn't proper accounting of all of this. And so Colin Hogan writes that the IG concluded that the local port authority, quote, has not demonstrated that it has the resources to properly maintain the marina, while stating that, quote, DCR has not demonstrated it is a good steward of public assets. Well, but here's the problem. We got a statement. It's in the New Bedford Light story, but also John Darling from the city sent it to us just in case we were writing an article. I was not. I was watching Big Trouble in Little China. But Gordon Carr, who is the port director, said, we received the OIG report earlier today and are still reviewing its findings in detail. What is immediately clear is that the findings concerning the NBPA are fundamentally flawed. Remarkably, the OIG failed to conduct any interviews with NBPA personnel at all. We look forward to providing a comprehensive report to the OIG, to the OIG report, which we will make available to the public. So basically, what they're saying is, well, you don't know the situation because you didn't talk to us. And for what reason would they not talk to anybody from the Port Authority? You would think that that would be part of the process. If you are the Inspector General and you are investigating this deal, this agreement, these operations, you would think you'd want to talk to both parties to find out what they're doing, what they think is right, what they think is wrong. And then when you find that things aren't being done or proper reporting isn't being done, don't you naturally have questions that you want to ask and follow up and find out the answers to? So what was the reason not to talk to somebody? Was it to rush through it and just get it done? Was it to get it completed in a certain time frame? Was it to avoid getting the answers to some of those questions? Is the fix in a sense of, you know, they wanted to come away with a negative response, a negative view of what goes on there. It's kind of baffling how you would conduct an investigation and file a report without talking to the parties that you are reporting on. I just don't understand how that works. So 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. We can talk about this and whatever else is on your mind. But right now, I've got to take my first break of the morning. Don't forget to, today is your final day to enter to win Maroon 5 tickets. We're going to be pulling the winner after the show today. So you can go to WBSM.com or the WBSM app to enter to win. I'm going to keep reminding you of that throughout the course of the show this morning. And that's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, and where they're currently running a toy drive to benefit the United Way of Greater New Bedford. So if you're going to stop into Stevie's for anything, bring a new unwrapped toy to drop off for their toy drive. All right, we'll take a break here and be back with the news. Stick around.
You're listening to the Tim Meisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500.
A loose wire blamed for the Maryland bridge collapse, a child crushed by a falling tree, and a judge approving bankruptcy for an opioid company.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A loose wire is being blamed for causing the power failure that led to the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore in March of 2024.
During a hearing in Washington, the NTSB said investigators found a wire was improperly installed and later disconnected, cutting propulsion and steering on the cargo ship Dali. A second blackout occurred when a flushing pump being used to supply fuel to generators shut off during the initial outage and wasn't restarted, a practice investigators called inappropriate. Six workers died when the bridge fell, and the agency says the tragedy was preventable and never should have happened. I'm Rick Hoschel.
A family looking to take legal action after their child was killed by a tree while at a camp in Southern California. The parents of 8-year-old Lamar McLaughlin, who witnessed the incident as they arrived for pickup at Camp Wildcraft located at King Gillette Ranch, alleging negligence. The lawsuit claims the camp's owner and operator failed to address the hazardous conditions of the oak tree, despite repeated warnings about its dangerous state, and a post-incident inspection revealed significant signs of decay as well as structural defects in the tree. The Mountains Recreation and Conservation Authority has 45 days to respond to the claims before the family can proceed with a wrongful death lawsuit. The Senate has passed a measure allowing for the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer successfully passed unanimous consent, which means the bill will automatically pass once it's delivered to the Senate from the House. Yesterday, the House passed the bill to force the DOJ to release all of the Epstein files by a 427-1 vote. President Trump recently said he'll sign the measure if it passes the Senate. The UK is set to ban the reselling of event tickets for more than face value. The BBC reports ministers will announce a plan today to combat ticket resale sites. The plan will also include a limit on fees tacked on to resale prices. British artists like Dua Lipa, Coldplay, Sam Fender, and others signed a letter last week calling on the government to protect fans. The news caused four shares in the U.S. ticket resale company StubHub to fall 14% on Monday. There's a generation of people who are not showing any love to the letter T.
There are 26 letters in the alphabet, but one is just not getting enough love. Linguists say the letter T is being dropped from words like kitten, mountain, and interview, coast to coast, and no one knows why. But they have named it. It's called T glottalization, and it's a speech error that's happening mostly in the under 25 age range. A reminder from your friends at Sesame Street.
Elmo loves the letters of the alphabet from A to Z.
And you should, too. I'm Bree Tennis.
True to its nickname, Las Vegas, the most sinful city in the U.S. I'm going in to Sin City.
That's according to a recent study by the personal finance company Wallet Hub. The study compares more than 180 cities based on seven sinful behaviors like anger, hatred, jealousy, vices, vanity, and laziness. Las Vegas is followed by Houston, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, and Atlanta. I'm Mark Mayfield.
A New York judge is approving Purdue Pharma's bankruptcy, which will release billions of dollars for the opioid plaintiffs across the country.
New York's Attorney General announced the news after bankruptcy judge Sean Lane confirmed the plan in a bench ruling Tuesday. Letitia James secured approval on behalf of 55 states and U.S. territories. She said it's a significant step in finalizing the $7.4 billion settlement with Purdue and its owners, the Sackler family. James says Purdue was at the center of the nation's opioid crisis, fueling addiction and deadly overdoses with deceptive marketing. The Sacklers are being booted and Purdue will be run by a nonprofit. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
The Celtics beat the Brooklyn Nets 113-99 last night. Seas are hosting the Nets again tomorrow at 7:30 at the Garden, and the Bruins are in Anaheim with the Ducks at 10.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast, brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Morning clouds giving way to afternoon sunshine today. Still cool, at least for this time of year. Highs in the mid-40s. Not as much wind as yesterday. A clear start tonight, then clouds overnight. Late night temperatures down in the 30s. Partly sunny skies continue dry on Thursday with a high of 45. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petrarca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And we have a story up on the app and on the website about this happened. This was a pretty interesting story. So the other day, one of the members of the Wareham Department of Natural Resources, which is they combine their animal control and their harbor master into the same office. And it's the Department of Natural Resources. Great people over there. And also very funny when it comes to their social media posts. Well, apparently one of the officers on Monday came home after a long day of work and arrived home to find that his car had been vandalized. His personal vehicle had been vandalized at his home. And the back windshield was smashed. And when you look and see, it was smashed by a quahog shell. And so the DNR put out a post on Facebook saying that they have a suspect in this incident and that they do believe that the officer was targeted as a result of his job. That suspect is a character they're referring to as Steven Seagal. So instead of Steven Seagal, you know, the action star, former action star, but the Steven Seagal, because they think that what happened was a seagull was trying to crack open the quahog by dropping it on the ground, which is what they do. They get these quahog shells. They fly up to a certain height, and then they drop the shell because they've learned over time, you know, over evolution, I guess, that if you drop the quahog shell on the ground, it'll crack open, and then you can get the meat inside. And so this seagull went to drop the quahog and apparently missed the ground and hit the back windshield of a DNR officer's car. And this actually follows an incident that happened recently on Nantucket. Barry wrote about it a little while back, where the same thing happened to a woman on Nantucket where her back windshield was smashed by a quahog shell. And what can you do about that? There's nothing you can do about that. I mean, I guess unless you're going to build a garage or a carport, reach out to Isaacson Solar. They can build you a solar carport. But unless you're going to do that, your car is out there. It's exposed. I'm looking at my car in the parking lot right now. A seagull could come and drop a quahog on it. We certainly have enough of them around here. Although the seagulls that frequent this area, that frequent this parking lot, they don't need to go looking for quahogs. They get fed enough over at McDonald's and Dunkin' and all the other stuff they find in the parking lot. We once had a story with video. You can find it if you search for it on Google. But my friend John Comey had posted this video, and so I asked him if I could use it and write a story about it because it was so good. There was a gang of seagulls, I guess a flock of seagulls. They didn't run. They flew. They flew so far away. But there was a flock of seagulls and a rafter of turkeys, because that's what you call a group of turkeys. A rafter of turkeys and a flock of seagulls squaring off in the parking lot of Big Lots over there. And they're lined up on either side, kind of staring each other down. You know, I was just expecting them to start snapping and dancing like West Side Story. It was pretty crazy. Very funny. But yes, that's something if you didn't already have enough to worry about. If you agoraphobics who are listening to this radio station because it's your only connection to the outside world because you're afraid to go outside. If you're an agoraphobic, I just gave you another reason not to want to leave the house. If you are terrified of birds because you saw Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds and you never recovered from it, I just gave you another reason to be terrified. Quahogs dropping from above. Now, I can also tell you that this case and the one that Barry wrote about are the only two that I've ever heard of. So maybe it's not as common as you think, or maybe it's becoming more common. Maybe the seagulls are talking to each other and saying, hey, you don't just have to drop it on the ground, you know. You can drop it on these cars. And the other seagull says, yeah, but I already do something else to the car to get back at those people. Yeah. But, you know, if you don't have to poop, you can do this. 508-996-0500. Let me take my next break. We'll be right back.
They are our love bugs and companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life better. When we face unexpected challenges, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people and their pets. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Listen up, women. Heart disease kills a woman every 80 seconds, and we die of heart attacks at twice the rate of men because our symptoms are too often missed or dismissed, even by doctors. This isn't just a crisis. It's a catastrophe. Be a force for change. If you experience nausea, heartburn, extreme fatigue, shortness of breath, or pain in the chest, jaw, or neck, speak up and get your heart checked. Visit womensheartalliance.org.
You're waking up with the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app.
Well, the only thing more difficult than walking on the moon, Sting, is having to walk to school. And you don't want kids having to walk to school on a day like today, right, where it's not even 30 degrees out yet. Well, I guess we hit 30, but still, you want to be driving them to school. And if that is, sounds like a good job for you, if you think you are someone who would be suited to driving kids to school, or maybe just being a monitor on the bus and making sure kids get to school safely, Tremblay Bus Company is looking for both. They need bus drivers, they need van drivers, they need monitors, and all you have to do to find out more is go to tbcbus.com, and then you can apply. And tbcbus.com has more information about some of the different jobs that they do have available, but you might be saying to yourself, okay, I'd love to drive a bus. You know, my kids are in school, and that'd be a great job for me to be able to do, knowing that I could work around their schedule. Or maybe you're retired and you just want a little bit of extra money, or maybe you need a second job. But you're saying, I'd love to do it, but I don't have a CDL. Well, that's okay. They're willing to train you if you are willing to learn. So again, to find out more, just go to the website, tbcbus.com for Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com. All right, my number here, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails, both available on the WBSM app. Great way to send in anything that's on your mind any time of day. You don't have to just wait until the show is on. So if you want to send me a message, but it's, you know, 7 o'clock at night, that's okay. Just open up the WBSM app, hit the app chat button, and then it's going to ask you to select what you can select which show you want to send it to. You can send it to this show any time of day, and then I will see it. Either when I come in the morning, or I do get emails with some of the app chat messages. So I would know that you would send one in. So that's a great way to reach out anytime. Of course, you can also email me, tim@wbsm.com, but the app chat gives us the chance to go back and forth right through the WBSM app. And you can also record those open line voicemails anytime. So if you think of something and you say, I'd love to remember to call in about this tomorrow morning, but you know, I don't know that I'll have time, or I might forget, or just open up the WBSM app, hit the app chat, but the open line voicemail button, rather, hit that button and then record whatever it is that you have to say and send it over. The only thing that I ask is that you don't use language that I can't use on the radio. Because if I have to take it and edit it and cut words out, I'm not going to do that. So I just won't air it. But if you use the same language you would on a phone call and I can just play it right on the air, I will do it. And so I wish more people would take advantage of that. We've tried offering prizes to get people to utilize it. Nobody seems to want to use it. I mean, I get it. You want to have the live back and forth of a phone call, and certainly I prefer that too, but there's got to be some of you out there who just don't have time to make the phone call, or aren't able to because of your job, or there's got to be some people out there that want to utilize that open line voicemail option. So what are you waiting for? It just takes one. If one of you starts using it, then other people will follow. But if you do like to call the old-fashioned way, 508-996-0500. Chris will have a rundown for you, too, of the way that some of those local elections went yesterday. But I can tell you that in Acushnet, the vote for the school was an overwhelming no vote. I think it was 3-1, if I remember correctly. And we are now in the time of year where, you know, people are going to start to say, there's not a lot going on the local scene because we are in the holiday season. So there'll be, you know, less public meetings, less things happening, but the news never takes a break. Local things will keep happening and we will be here to cover it with you. And get your reaction to it always at 508-996-0500 or the app chat or the open line voicemails. Don't forget, too, later on this morning, We'll have in the 7:30 hour, we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files. And then in the 8:30 block, after the 8:30 news, it's Wet Nose Wednesday. So we have a new article up for you from our Wet Nose Wednesday correspondent, Melissa Vieira of MJ's Pet Training Academy, about how you can teach your dog some basic commands by playing some games with them. And she's going to join us to talk about that a little bit later on after the 8:30 news. So that'll be coming up too. And if you have dog questions for her, you can call in with them too as well. Right now, though, I've got to take my last break of this hour. Let me get that done. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. We'll have the ABC News, everything you need to know on the national level. And then Mike Roberts has your South Coast News. When we come back, we can talk more with you at 508-996-0500. We are talking about this Office of the Inspector General report about the Pope's Island Marina basically saying, yeah, we don't think either the city